We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Oh, Peters.
Hey, got a fight. Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
Now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Came down in front of the net. Sanders keeping it in there. Skinner in front of the net. They score! Cody Eakin was there to tap it home on a nifty passing play with Skinner, and Buffalo takes the lead. Now wheeled across in front of the net. The shot, they score! Islanders come right back and tie it up. Back to the point it comes. Long shot. They score. The shot taken from the point was Ryan Bullock. Gets it right back again, but lost it. And here's a breakdown for the Islanders. Going in on goal. Put it. The shot. He scores. Cranked it right off the pipe. Did Cal Clutterbuck. Kept in again by Buffalo. Ripped across ice. Tapped back to the point with a blast. They score. The shot taken from the point by Colin Miller. Has got Buffalo back to within one.
Now, I think Bork might have got a piece of this one in front of the net.
Sabres, Bjork keeping it in neatly, though. It goes to the corner. Now Bjork winds up and shoots one. Scores! Bjork, short side, sips it home. Tied at three. Bjork, he might have played his best game as a Sabre tonight. And he'll get a chance now. Bjork takes a shot, scored! Well, he found the corner. Wahlstrom, he takes the shot, and Hauser beats him, and Buffalo wins it in a shootout! And the legend of Michael Hauser grows and grows.
Michael Hauser will be our 10:30 guest today here on the Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG. I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. I haven't been able to root for an individual player in the NHL like I've rooted for him since Mario Lemieux. So, and you, Rob, of course, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Rob Ray with us here for the first hour. So he'll be able to join us with Michael Hauser, who is, do I dare say, taking the NHL by storm? He's fantastic right now, and it's such a fantastic story. And we'll get into that a little bit more here shortly. What is taking the hockey world by storm, though, is the Tom Wilson lack of suspension, and what a divide. I have never seen such a divide over something like this in a long time when it comes to a hockey hit. And probably was this player too, that where the divide was created. And Connor McDavid, 2 more points last night as he closing in on just a historical feat that hasn't been accomplished in many, many years. So we'll talk all about that. Rob, good morning. Craig, good morning. What a night last night here in Buffalo, but I don't know where your heads are at. Michael Hauser's an amazing story, but come on. what's going on around the NHL is with the Tom Wilson thing is hysterical to say the least, to use the proper word.
Well, I guess my question that caught my mind when you're speaking there, Petey, was the big divide. Mm-hmm. And my question is, do you think it's a big divide, or do you think that there's the majority of the people that feel that, you know, one thing should happen with Tom Wilson, and there's a few that are stepping up saying that, no, we feel that there's something else that should
happen. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I'm a bad one to talk to about this, and I think I expressed my opinion last night, but I think
how'd it go?
Well, it's a tough argument because, you know, you look at a player and does he have to be under control of his emotions and what he's doing? Yes, all that kind of thing. But still, it comes down to the game itself, the way the game is played. You know, in Tom Wilson's situation the other night, did he need to take it to that extreme? Probably not. But it's out there and it's part. And I still continue to fall back on the lack of being able to be allowed to police the game within the game, the players. And I think that just, it falls back to that an awful lot. And a lot of people don't want to hear it because it goes back to maybe the fighting side of the game that, you know, there's so many people against now. But stuff like that wouldn't happen to those kind of players if there was, you know, the possibility that guys could control things on the ice themselves. And I think it gets to a point sometimes where some of those guys are taken advantage of because of it. Because who does Tom Wilson have to fear in this league? Nobody. And especially in this division, nobody. That he could just go play his game and try to intimidate, do what he ever has to do. Saying, is it right? You know what? It's part of the game. But I just think that people make such a big deal about it. Did you watch the game last night? Did you see the highlights with Crosby fighting or wrestling somebody in the corner last night?
Yeah,
did you see it with
me.
Philadelphia? Yeah. Yeah. And did you see how he takes and slams him down to the ice? Okay. Are we hearing anything today about Sidney Crosby should be, you know, suspended, you know, for slamming Konechny down onto the ice, onto his head, you know, when they're wrestling in the corner? Absolutely not. You're only hearing it because it's Tom Wilson, who has a track history of playing dirty at times and, you know. So that is the part that I kind of have a problem with, because there's double standard on who's doing it and what's happening and who it's against.
I'm not sure if you have seen, I'm sure everyone has seen or heard, but the New York Rangers issued a statement. Probably when everybody went to look up what the definition of derelict was. But the New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these types of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We don't know if that's actually fact. Could be. I'm not taking away that he's not hurt, but they also were out of the playoffs, so you can sit him out, say he's hurt, to make it look worse than it really is. So, you know, show me an MRI. We view this as a dereliction of duty by the head of player safety, George Parros, and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. That's a bold statement, Cotton, if you want a movie quote.
Well, we'll see if you know what the fine for that's going to be. That's a lot of harsh words being thrown out by I guess one of the storied franchises here in the National Hockey League, in the Rangers. But you know, I mean, the way I look at it is, Rob, you spoke about, you know, years ago there used to be teams had police. They had policemen, okay, that went out and they kept others accountable for their actions. Right now, in today's game, it's changed immensely. There's no more policing in the game. the policing needs to come. The safety needs to come from George Parros, the head of player safety.
Who was an on-ice cop, by the way. He was an on-ice cop, and he was a damn good one. I'll add that.
But, Rivs, I'm going to just argue that a little bit. It has to come from the players. It has to come from the players on the ice. You can't sit back and do something on the ice.
Rob, the game's
changed. It can be.
The
Just listen for a minute. I'm not saying physically. I'm saying if they have a problem with it, Dan talked about it last night. If they have a problem with the way individuals are playing out there, then they have the loudest voice. They have a union. They're all together. They're the Players Association. Speak up to the Players Association and in turn to the league and say, hey, we have to do something about this. We have to do something. But you're not hearing that from the players out there, other than the ones that may be scared to death of Tom Wilson or guys that play like that, that, okay, we have to change something here. But you don't hear it from them, right?
And I wonder.
It is their game, okay? They're the guys out there. They're the ones that need – you can't sit there and expect one individual sitting in New York watching replays of this stuff to clear up all the issues in the game. Okay, whether he gave a stiff enough fine or no suspension, whatever it may be, it's the players. The players have to do something, all right? The players have to do it.
Players are paid to play. They want to be safe.
But it's
this
their
guy
league. It's
is
their
a
league.
Predator. Race,
and they are the ones that are being paid to play, as you said. And they're the ones out there that people are coming to see. So speak up about it.
Well, they're not going to see Temi Panarin anymore.
Well, just say it. Speak up.
Right?
Now Wilson's got to wonder about the KGB.
People out there that have no problem speaking up and saying their opinion, right, on everything. So why can't the players do that? They're the ones, they need to go to the head of the Players Association and say, hey, this is not good. This is not good for us. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for the game. We have to change it.
Are they let me ask you something. Are players really allowed to speak like that? Could Crosby say, I mean, he can say whatever
Mario
he wants,
Lemieux
but
back in the
oh,
day,
come on, Rob, perception is everything in life.
Okay, but listen, Mario Lemieux back in the day bitched every day about the clutching and grabbing in the games, killing the game. And he just kept talking about it. What happened? All that kind of thing was taken out of the game. So these guys can make a difference. Their voices they're strong. And you don't think that if stars in the game, especially, or everybody as a group comes up and says, hey, we need to change this, then they're going to do it.
Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Sabres win last night. And Michael Hauser just making an unbelievable name for himself. There's no better story for me right now in the NHL. And no player I've rooted harder for than this particular player. We'll talk about it in just a minute. You know, we talk about the star players, you know, stepping up and speaking up. And I brought that up yesterday, Rob. And I watched the video over and over and over. And I've heard some very compelling arguments for Tom Wilson. Okay. Panarin jumped on his back. You know, like that's hockey. Or there was a former player turned executive, Athletic wrote some stuff. And I'll try to, here it is here. You have a longtime player turned NHL executive. I didn't think it was as bad as everyone said it was. I guess maybe because I wanted to see it, I blew it up in my own mind. And what was in my mind was a lot worse. A former player here. I was going to time how long that entire incident took. You would swear that we had World War V. It's one of those blink of an eye things. And I saw all kinds of BS things on social media. An NHL team executive. I'm really surprised on this one. I thought this was an opportunity for the league to make some sort of statement. They're lucky that Panarin didn't get seriously hurt there. When was the last suspension in the league? Was it Edler Hyman, Vancouver? Edler was suspended 2 games for kneeing Toronto Zach Hyman, which happened during the course of the game. Anyway, I'm reading a quote here. That doesn't matter. So you're getting my point here. You're getting my point. So what did I miss? What am I missing here?
I think there's arguments on both sides here. I think you can put a great argument up either way on this one. And, you know, whatever way you want to believe, I doubt you're going to change people's minds. But I got a couple things here. I looked at, okay, the policing on the ice. You're watching successful teams out there, the teams that do well. They have guys like this. And I said last night, you don't see anybody taking cheap shots at Backstrom and Ovi out there. They go play their game because they know. All right? You go to all the teams that are doing well. Look at Vegas. They got Ryan Reeves out there. You know, these guys, they might not have to do it all the time, but they kind of put something out there that, hey, don't mess with these guys, and they allow them to go play. Maybe on one hand, teams should start looking at that and saying, okay, these teams are successful because they do play that kind of game. They do have one of those guys or two of those guys on the team that can still play the game. I'm not talking just a guy to go out and fight. I'm talking a guy that go out and play the game as well, but also can, you know, address situations, which buys a ton of room for a lot of guys out there. Maybe the league should start looking at that going, hey, maybe we need something like that.
Rob, let me ask you one thing before. Well, unless Riz is about to say something.
No, he's thinking.
Listen, I don't have anything to say about this any further. I think, you know, I'm really disappointed. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've gone through the last 5 years here on the Instigators. We've gone over guys that have been suspended. And I'm always on the other side. I'm usually on the other side saying, you know what, guys that are being hit need to, you know, protect themselves and all this kind of stuff. In this situation, this player in particular is a predator. He's dangerous. He's nasty. Now, here's the thing. I actually love the way he plays. I love the way Tom Wilson plays. If he was playing back 15, 20 years ago, he wouldn't be playing the same way. I strongly believe that. He's going to be dealing with guys that are just as big and guys that are, quite frankly, as tough or way tougher. Okay. He's not worried about the player safety. He's worried about the guys on the other team that I'm going to tell you right now, they're coming after him. They're going to come after him and they are going to try and hurt him. And once you feel that, once Tom Wilson feels that, then all of a sudden this little sucker punch and stuff like that, he starts to have to think about his actions. Right now, he doesn't think about his actions. He is a 6'4", 225 pound, you know, he's the ultimate power forward in the National Hockey League right now.
He really is.
And he's a very good hockey player. That's why he was drafted in the first round of Washington years ago. He plays on a top line with some of the best players in the world. Okay. He is a player, but he's also extremely dangerous. He's dirty and he's dangerous. And right now in the new NHL, because this is a new NHL, all of those policemen are now out of the game. They're not there anymore.
No, but Ribs, you don't have to have just the policemen. This, as you just said, this guy can play the game. This guy can play he plays on their top line, as you said.
Yep.
So there's guys that can do that and still manage what he has to manage on the ice to give his guys that space. So the point I get to
what
is,
I'm trying to say,
why don't
Rob,
other
is...
teams realize that there's not a player in this conference this season and even in others that Tom Wilson even blink an eye at that would
because
prevent
I think
him from going to play
this
game?
This is the point, Rob. You're saying that this is on the team's fault. It's the team's fault for not having a player in your lineup that can deal with and take care of Tom Wilson. But the league, as in the players and the way it's gone in the last 5 years, is the players need policing. There is no policeman anymore. There's no Rob Rays. There's no Andrew Peters. There's no guys that keep guys honest on the other team. That's done. It's over. So the policing needs to come from George Parros. So when you have a player like Brusnevitz or whatever is on the ground, he gets punched in the head. He's having his face rammed into the ice. Then you have Artemi Panarin, one of the top players in the world, hasn't fought in his life, jumps on the back. And it looked like a jockey getting on a rodeo horse that was trying to buck him off, slams him to the ice with the force that he did, shakes him around like a rag doll. This is the stuff that can't happen to these players anymore. The policing needs to come from the George Parros.
No, the policing needs to come from the players. And the players, if they can't do it physically on the ice, they have to do it through their voice and deal with it. Because the league is one thing. The Players Association is something totally different. We all know that. And they have to negotiate back and forth to get anything done. So all of a sudden, the one side can't do it. They have to do it together. Or you just sit and wait till Tom Wilson retires from hockey. And then, okay, take a deep breath and, okay, that's over with. Let's move on.
Well,
because you're not going to change the way the guy plays.
Let's move on. Okay. It's disappointing. It is disappointing. And
that's
my
view, Ribs.
I just don't know. Am I getting soft? I mean, I don't know. I guess if there aren't going to be guys like myself, then I don't want to see Panarin having that happen. Like, if he goes and cross checks Tom Wilson in the neck, he might deserve it. But I mean, you know, he's come in the defense of his teammate. Tom Wilson went, in my opinion, completely over the line. You know, Michael Hauser. I think I am. It's with the old age.
I think it comes with age. We all get soft in certain ways. And
it does. It does come with age.
But I'm not sitting here saying what Tom Wilson did was right. I'm not saying that one iota, but I'm just saying it's not on one guy's shoulders to change the way the game is played.
Yeah, and listen, what's disheartening for me is back 15 years ago, I actually loved those scenarios. I loved them. 5-on-5, guys are suckering each other. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed being a part. That was a fun part of the game, to be honest with you.
If you had the lesser dance partner, it was fantastic for sure.
Oh, yeah, that was great. But what I'm talking about is I look at Tom Wilson and there's very, very few players in the league like him. And I just find there's such a disadvantage. And I wish there was more players in the league like that could handle and be on the ice in that situation that can, you know, usually when you're in these situations, the tough guys always seem to find the tough guys and it kind of trickles down. You know what I'm saying? Like that usually what happens because, you know who's on the ice. But I just find I find he's dangerous and I think he's going to hurt somebody. He's already hurt people.
Riz, he's dangerous compared to the player that's out there now.
Yes, yes.
But on the other hand, do we have to penalize him and make him out to be a monster because – he plays the game hard. And, you know, we've all crossed the line. This line that Marty was talking about last night, I'm like, I hate when somebody says there's a line, you can't cross it. At no point in my years that I played hockey, anybody showed me a line that, oh, you can't cross this line.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Well, you're right. You're right. And I'm not offended because I did say that line not long ago, but I appreciate the honesty. The line should be drawn at least after. You can draw the line after and say, you know what, maybe we weren't totally clear here, but we're going to tell you what we meant by sitting you or fining you more than $5,000. I mean, I think the line can be drawn after the fact, and then that way maybe it's not crossed again.
Yeah.
And as time changes and the game evolves and the game gets softer, I don't mean that, sorry, did I say that out loud? As the game gets less physical, you're going to have to continue to just keep moving that line, and that's where you get control of the game. That's how they're going to you could have drawn a line in the sand last night or yesterday. And it would have been clear as day for everybody coming up. And because everyone's going to see this, everyone's going to talk about this. And the suspension that should have been could have been the conversation that starts to alter the way players act after whistles. They missed a huge opportunity.
Nothing goes on.
The National Hockey League and the player Department of Player Safety. I'm not calling for Perros's job. I'm not calling for Perros's job.
I think you're wrong, Rob. There's a lot of it that goes on after.
Yeah, but Bruce, it's just
depending on the shove and talking. Depending on the team that you have.
Yeah, there's not much of it.
The problem I have, though, with these scrums after, and you watch more and more, as the gloves stay on, the sticks stay in the hands, and the hands come up. And I saw almost Malkin a couple years ago almost get his eyeball jabbed out. And last night or yesterday, I was watching the replay of the Vegas-Minnesota game. There were scrums everywhere. Dumba was throwing punches with his right hand, and he had his stick in the other and almost speared a guy. Another guy's stick came by someone's head.
Why don't we do anything about that?
There's another thing that they need to do. They need to do away with those cross checks in front of the net on forwards, defensemen lay, and guys fall forward as the slap shot's coming through. Taylor Hall took one. Guy from Tampa Bay took one the other day. It happened yesterday in that same Minnesota Vegas game. That's another one where now defensemen cross check the forward standing in front of the net as the puck's coming at him and almost hits him right in the face. We got to go to break, because there's a new legend wearing 32. We're going to have two legends that wore 32 on this show, but the new legend is the talk of the town. He's the talk of the league, and he's the talk of this show, The Instigators. We'll be right back with Michael Hauser, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And a lot of you NHL fans might not know, 14 surgeries before the age of 2 years old. He was born with two club feet.
That's why he's a goalie, right?
This is exactly why he's a goalie, and was able to overcome all of that adversity, surgery after surgery after surgery, the strength and support of his parents along the way and his family members, riding the buses in the OHL, riding the buses in the East Coast Hockey League, 210 ECHL games, ECHL All-Star, to finally at 28 years old earn his shot at playing in the NHL. This is about human perseverance, belief in yourself, and a never say die or quit attitude.
That was Kevin Weeks yesterday on the NHL Network, and I love when he gets rolling. I really do. I love when he gets rolling. He is like a breath of fresh air. And that was fantastic. I love the proper recognition toward Michael Hauser on the NHL Network. And as we're being joined right now with Michael. Michael, good morning, first of all. Yeah, bravo. Craig's giving you the bravo to you. I know you don't know us. I'm Andrew Peters. The guy down there with all the sticks behind him is Rob Ray. And the guy up there with all his own jerseys is Craig Rivet. And I speak for all of us when I say that outside of your family and your friends and your teammates, we here in the Instigators are your biggest fans and rooting for you harder than anybody. Before we knew you were playing the other day, and all the up and down you've gone through, just not in your life, but just this year alone, we're like, give the guy a game and you got it. And what do you think about what they say about you on the NHL Network? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's very cool, and I appreciate the support from you guys. That's awesome. Yeah, I was really just hoping to, like you said, grab one game maybe. I knew that we were in Pittsburgh at the end of the year, but, you know, I can read a depth chart, obviously, and you never want to hope for injuries. That's, like, the last thing that you want. But, you know, some things happened, and, you know, I had to kind of dial into game mode, I guess, really quick, because you guys know it's easy to get out of that when you're not playing for so long. So just kind of had to flip the switch a little bit and, you know, just kind of go back to what worked when I was playing a whole lot of hockey, just kind of, you know, settle in. Obviously the first game, first period was the only one where I didn't feel like I really had my legs. After that, I think I settled down a little bit and just kind of fell back into the old routine.
We're joined right now with Michael Hauser. Sorry, Riv, go ahead.
Buddy. I was just going to say, I find it amazing that, the players of today have changed so much, you know, talking about, you never want guy to be injured. And that, what are you talking about? Yeah, I was in the minors the whole time. All I did is look at the score sheet from the night before with the Montreal Canadiens and hope that somebody got injured on defense. That's the only way.
You don't want anything serious, Michael. You just want a couple games. You just want a sniff. Game.
Just open up the door. Yeah,
exactly. That's the only way you get a shot in this league. And but let me tell you something. We were all anticipating your first game. You look fantastic. Last night, you really look comfortable out there. And I want you to describe to me what your year has been like, ultimately being a practice goaltender, taking a lot of shots, and how's your year been and what you've had to go through?
Yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least. Like, I signed with Rochester in September, October, I believe, and then after that it was nobody really knew what was going on for the longest time, obviously, with scheduling and all that. I ended up getting a call Christmas Eve saying that I, you know, could come to Buffalo camp and was invited here. So that was huge, because at that time I didn't know when I was going to get my season started yet. Roch hadn't had a training camp deep planned yet. So I was happy with that, and I was able to kind of get going, and I was going to try to use that as a little building block for when we get the season started in Rochester. There was so much up in the air. Like, we didn't know if UPL was coming, staying over in Europe or whatever. So I thought it was going to be a great opportunity. And then, like you said, we had three in Roch after UPL came over, and, you know, I got my reps in practice, and I still got my work in, just no games. And I understood it. I understood why. Like Oopie's 20, 21, and he needs to play. And Ticker is, the number three guy and would be the first to go up. So I understood all of that. And I knew that, you know, in such a weird year, that eventually I would be getting my chance to play. And I always thought, it was going to be in Rochester, to be honest. I thought, you know, a positive test here or there, or something happens, and, you know, that would be my net there. So I was just really working towards that and trying to stay somewhat, you know, focused on trying to take that net if I had the chance, and ended up not happening. And then I kind of came here and did the same thing for a while, and then ended up getting the net this past weekend.
Michael, 28, though, you're an accomplished goaltender all the way up through 28, and you finally get your shot. What kept you pushing so hard for so long?
I said this to somebody the other day, like, I've always viewed it just as hockey still. Like, I've always, every September, I always get ready for a new season, and, you know, I've never really been out of a contract. An NHL contract I have, but after my entry level, I've always been on an American League deal afterwards. I always just thought that, you know, even if I'm fifth on the depth chart, that, you know, something happens, I'll be up there. If something else happens, it's my net in the American League then. So that's always kind of been my mindset, is, you know, be patient and make sure you do, you know, play as well as you can, because I've always thought that I was one of the better goalies in the East Coast League. So I wanted to, you know, make sure that I played as well as I could there and just keep going. And, you know, I had a really good year a few years ago in Cincy. And since then, I've just felt like I've been getting better consistently, which, you know, that's been super encouraging too, is that I can see myself getting, you know, much better the past, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. I think in my early 20s, I think I kind of plateaued a bit, and I had such a good last year of juniors that I might have, you know, thought that that's how I need to play, you know, the rest of my life. And I realized a few years later that, you know, you need to get a lot better, and you need to keep getting better in order to, you know, at least stay where you are, or, you know, keep going up and climbing the levels. So I think the last probably 3 or 4 years, I really bought into it and worked on things. I think I've seen myself getting better.
Michael Hauser joining the Instigators here. He's the talk of the NHL, an unbelievable story, but not just that, making big saves and winning hockey games. Michael, I like the dramatic. I have a flair for the dramatics. I don't know if you can tell, but I think about the moments, you know, I didn't have many, you know, glamorous moments, but there are firsts in your career that you might relish in a little more. And I, as I'm watching you the other night, as I wake up the next day and we prepare to talk to you about you yesterday, I think about what happened when everything was shut off, the phone was shut off, you'd spoken to your parents, it's late at night, you got to go to bed. Where does your mind take you after your first game as you're lying there and you finally get your first moments alone?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I love watching on the fly. Like, I watch on the fly almost every night. So I that's one thing that I really wanted to do, is watch, you know, the highlights of on the fly. So talked to the parents, answered a few messages, and then I wanted to kick back and watch some highlights. So I thought that was really cool, is that I got to watch myself in the on the fly highlights.
So what has this done for your confidence, and what has this done for your belief that your career is going to continue? I mean, there's no question that you're drawing a lot of eyes. So what has this done to your confidence heading into the next couple games and next year?
Confidence is pretty good right now, I could say. You know, you always think that you can play. You always think that you can play and play well, but you never know until you get that chance. And, you know, I've watched so many hockey games in my life, and, you know, I've usually tell myself, like, I could have won that game, or I could have went out there and played well or made that save or what have you. But you never know until you're on the ice and you can feel the shots and, you know, see the speed that's around you. So that part of it has really built the confidence that, you know, I haven't been behind too many plays the last two games, a couple, but not too many. I feel like I'm keeping up, and my hands and my eyes are working right now, and I'm making saves, and I feel like I'm controlling rebounds pretty well. So, like, all the stuff that I know that when I'm on over my career and when I'm sharp, all that stuff is kind of coming together right now, and that's pretty encouraging.
What are you looking to get out of these last, what is there, two games left in the season?
Yes.
You know, you're maybe hoping, you don't know quite right now if you're going to play in any of those two games. What are you looking to get out of the next little while of finishing here in Buffalo?
Other than your paycheck with a few more NHL days on it. Come on, Michael. Come on, Michael. Let's be honest.
Yeah, those have been a nice adjustment. But I honestly just want to play and play well and try to win. Like, it's going to be pretty cool. I'm from Pittsburgh, so we're going to where I grew up and played all of my youth hockey. So that'll be fun. But I really do, like, there's a week left in the season. I just want to kind of keep the blinders on, to be honest. Like, I know everything's been happening so fast, and it's been hard to kind of take a step back, but I think that'll kind of be for next week. I just kind of, you know, want to stay focused and, and just use this and take it into the summer. Like I said it last night after the game, I think it's huge that, you know, we're winning games here down the stretch. Like, you guys know, it's so, like, you need to feel good going into the summer. If you go into the summer, you know, not feeling good about your game personally, or you're on a skid going in, it's tough. And, you know, you end up shaking it off eventually, but it's way better to go into the summer with the good taste in your mouth. So we just all want to, you know, finish strong the last two and fit here.
Are you sore? You haven't played in a long time. And I couldn't imagine it. It's so much different practice than getting into a game. Is your body sore?
I'm a little sore. Yeah. Just like you said, it's, you could
just your normal stiffness. I mean, I'm not saying, are you injured? I'm just saying, are you
you're not a young man anymore. Yeah. Michael,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. That's what it is. It's just muscle soreness and, you know, reaching for, you know, I compete pretty hard in practice, but there's just something different when, you know, there's a puck that's 3 feet away from you that you have to reach for, you know, reaching for it in practice versus a game, just like that intensity, just being on top of pucks and all that. So like, that's been an adjustment. And just like being, I said this last night, like being in my gear for 3 hours and like feeling it get wet in the third period and heavy and all that goes along with playing a game. Cause there's things that, you know, you can fall right back into place with in terms of your routine and stuff like that. But the physical aspect of playing a game, it's like, it's hard. You guys know, like, and after you haven't done it in so long, you know, it is a little difficult, but, you know, lungs felt good, legs felt pretty good. And you know, you guys know what it is, just try to get them back for tomorrow.
I have a great question I want to ask, because I have never been able to experience, and you know, 2 games in the NHL. What's it feel like to be the main priority on the massage table?
I don't know.
Get out of the way, boys. Doogie Howser is coming through to get a massage. The old hammies need a little work.
Yeah, I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm a priority yet on the massage table, but I might jump over a couple of rookies or something like that.
Hey, Mitzi. Hey, Sam, I don't care what you're doing, Sam. Make like a tree and beat it.
Are you cold tub guy or no cold tub?
Cold tub. I jumped in yesterday in between games. We didn't go on. So I'm a cold tub guy. Just shock the legs, make you act like you can't even feel them for a little bit at least. So that's that was
toe caps or no toe caps?
No toe caps.
Good for you. Good for you. I was a toe cap guy myself.
Yeah. I usually jump in only, I don't usually do it if it's the first game of the weekend. If I'm playing back to back like I do, that's when I usually jump in there.
River, you had your finger up. You wanted to say something.
No, I'm just saying I'm not joining them. Hated that cold tub. Hated it with a passion. It just not for me.
Yeah, I don't love being in there. I just like it afterwards, the feeling after.
That's Michael. That's because it would overflow when he got in.
Yeah, it would overflow when he got in. Hey, Michael, the success you've had here in the last couple of games, has that kind of changed your outlook of what your plateau could be as a goaltender moving forward?
Great question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I think so. I think that's something that I'll probably think about more next week. Again, like, it's been so long since I played, and I don't know if you can really, you know, base anything off of 2 games. I think you need a little bit, you know, bigger body of work, but, you know, I think we'll see what happens. I have no idea what's to come, but it is nice to know that that people are noticing, you know, the work that I've put in and the time, and you know, we'll see.
We have to let you go. Strict orders to get you out at 49. They said 50, but I said I'll get you out at 49. I need to know your mindset now that the game is over. The first game, the first goal, deflection off the side. What's your mindset at that moment? Are you thinking, oh no, I don't know. Like, did you think it was going to start, like that was going to be the start of something? Or, you know, like you said, I liked your post game interview when you said you were able to respond to that.
Yeah. The first one, well, really both of them, like, I just know that I was still a little bit nervous in the first, like legs had a little jelly in them, but the first one and the second, I think I make both of those saves if I'm like really, really, if I'm sharp and like, you know, relax and stuff like that. So it was really after the second one, I knew I didn't come over tight, got under my pad, wasn't thrilled about it, but I was seeing the puck so well that I just knew that, you know, just settle down a little bit and you're seeing it and your hands are working and you're catching pucks. So I knew that the rest of my game was there. I just needed to kind of settle the legs a little bit in terms of the jitters. So after that second deflection went in that I thought I should have had, I just kind of told myself, like, you're seeing the puck so well, like, just make sure you're staying on top of it. And I always tell myself, I tell myself to smother the puck, like, instead of just like catching it like this or something, I'm like, I try to like get over top of it. And, you know, I call it smother. I don't know what anyone else would call it, but yeah, I just kept telling myself that.
We don't want to smother any more of your time.
No, quickly. But I just got one question just to say, you have an opportunity right now after what you've done to try to become the second greatest 32 in Sabre history.
Just going to bring up the number. Did you know that Rob wore 32? Do you even know who I Rob did. Ray is?
Yeah, I did know that. And then funny one for you real quick. I got a very, very similar text from Dale Hunter yesterday about wearing 32.
Well, hey, Razor, just so you know, Mr. Hauser here called John Scott and asked permission to wear 32.
But yeah, well, you know what?
Because he was the NHL MVP, Rob. He was the NHL MVP. He has to call him, right?
That has to be, yeah. Well, you know what, Michael? You owe me something.
Yeah.
You've already given it to us, Michael. You've made his job easier the last two games as he does the color. And this was a wonderful birthday present for me to have you on. These two idiots didn't even wish me a happy birthday or know that. But listen, Michael, I can't imagine the feeling that your parents are going through. More importantly, I can't imagine what you are going through. Enjoy it. You have given us something to really root for here for the last four games. And I can't thank you enough for what you're doing, man. So enjoy the rest of the ride, and hopefully we see you back in the NHL next year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy birthday.
Amongst players, Michael Hauser, wonderful interview, wonderful guy, wonderful goalie, wonderful story. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The Instigators are Andrew and Craig, and they're on the home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
I'm not saying a word about those guys anymore. Because they just sit at home and wait. And I'm not going to feed it.
Oh, I see what's going on
I'm
here.
I'm not
going
to feed it anymore.
I see what's going on.
I didn't even realize they were still in the air.
Well, you're holding true to your word. No more compliments.
Nope.
Oh, man. Thanks, Rob. Oh, sorry. It's that show that's still in the air. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Pardon?
You can't handle the truth, then
I will say this.
Most people
both Petey and I are anymore, very sensitive.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
In a way,
I'm glad we still are on the air, because I'm really glad that we were able to just get a chance to talk to Michael Hauser.
Yeah. Great story. And I'm going to tell you this. Story. You know, I don't know if you guys felt the same, and I know you have, but I was really worried. I was really worried personally. You have a young man that hasn't played a game in 14 months. He's been, you know, at one point in time, he was probably like, what, the fifth goalie, sixth goalie. He's just getting practice reps. You know, he's having to do extra off the ice, riding the bike, making sure he stays in shape. And now you get thrown to the Wolves. You're playing the Islanders. The Islanders have dominated the Sabres all year long. Now you don't have your first, second, third, fourth, fifth string goaltender. You have a guy that has not played in 14 months. I was nervous for the young man. Okay. I'm going to tell you this, gentlemen. I'm really surprised with how confident, how quick, how well he looked. If you were to watch these two games and tell me that it's not, you know, this isn't an NHL goaltender. If you were to just watch the two games, and I know it's only two games, it's a very, very small sample size. But if you were to watch these two games, can you tell me that this guy can't play in the National Hockey League?
It's actually not a small sample size. He's had three games worth of shots in two games.
Yeah, and you know what? I think a lot comes to it, Riz, is his preparation. You know, you listen to him talk how he prepares for it, his mindset. I spoke to Kevin Adams briefly the other night after the first game, and he looked and he goes, there's not a guy in that room that works harder than Michael Hauser. He'd stay on the ice for 4 hours every day if we had let him. So this guy prepares himself physically, mentally, awesome. And he's ready to go. And you listen to him, and what did we talk about off the air? He appreciates the opportunity he's getting, and that is the biggest thing, because he's realized it's taken him to 28 years old to get his first shot. How many guys would have packed it in and said, screw this, this isn't for me, it's not going to happen, and move on with their life? This guy stayed with it. I think a lot has to do with everything he dealt with as a young kid, you know, trying to persevere over everything that he's had.
You couldn't listen. I'm not going to get too dramatic. There are some other phenomenal stories. But if you think about the layout of this story and kind of what had to happen in order for him to get into the NHL this year, the season that had to be, the pandemic, the number of goalies, trading Johansson doesn't matter. He's not here anymore. You know, all the things that went on had to go in his favor. Like, if this team were good and competing for a playoff spot and Allmark's healthy, he's not playing.
No, a lot of these guys never would, Petey.
And then now he gets this chance and it ends in his hometown almost. It's absolutely incredible. And I just can't think about a better way, you know, for I don't even know where this goes. Where does this go for him?
That's why I asked him, because I think if he changes his mindset, he, like, every year he's coming in to be a top ECHL goalie and maybe get a chance to play in the American Hockey League, you know, it has to. And I think what it does too, just watching these games, it gets people's attention out there. They're looking at it, and we're always talking about goalies. Hey, if this guy can play strong for these last four games, it could totally change his life.
No kidding. If the hamburger can be born in Ottawa after a few games, how come Doogie Howser can't be born in Buffalo after four games? You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's going to be a backup here next year, but he could easily be in Roch.
Yes.
If Ukko Pekka Luukkonen is here, are you kidding me?
If you want Ukko Pekka Luukkonen to be your guy and to play the 55 games a year in the minors, and you have a player like Howser, who is just, he is so down to earth. He makes you feel good. If you look at what Kevin Adams was saying, that he is one of the hardest working players that we have, that's what you want Ukko Pekka Luukkonen to be around. You want him to be around a guy that loves the game, that appreciates the game.
He can clearly win at the NHL level.
Hey, and not just your goaltender, Rims, your whole team. Your whole team is going to look at that and see what he puts into it and what he's had to go through. And they may look at things a little differently as well. So it could help that whole attitude of everybody.
Finish that point, Riv, because I chopped you. You said loves the game, loves being around the team. You were rifling off a list of things.
It's the attitude in which you surround your players in the minors. You want rink rats. You just told me a little while ago that he would stay on the ice for 4 hours. And if you didn't drag him off, he would have been there all day. That's what you want in your organization. You want kids, young men that are rink rats, that love to be there. They love to be with their teammates, that are good people, that are hardworking people, that want to play collectively as a unit, and you build that. And you know what? Just talking to the young man today, he puts a smile on my face. I'm going to tell you right now, two games in the NHL, two wins against the Islanders, which is an extremely hard feat in today's game. And I'm going to tell you this, there is not a point in the entire game, in both games, that I felt that Howser looked out of place on a shot, a rebound, nothing, not one thing. And I was looking for it all game long. Give me one thing that I can talk about this way. He's an East Coast Hockey League goalie.
And you know what? He faced, 87 or 89 shots in those two games. So it wasn't a 20, 30 shot night every night. He had to work for it.
Could we pay him 100 and 125 in the minors? He's making 55. He's been in the coast his first few years in the pro. He's from 12 to 15. He was, you know, minor league salary, you know, your entry level deal with, I believe, Florida he signed. Yeah. Sign him, give him a raise, and who knows where it goes. It's a great story. Razor, are you out? Are you going to stick
I'm
around?
I'm out, guys. Yeah, I'm out. No, I'm out.
Okay. Well,
I need my mind to have a chance to settle down.
Okay. Well, we greatly appreciate your time today. Not as much as Michael Hauser's, but we're grateful for your time anyway.
Okay. Anytime, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure it sounds like it because we want
you. It's a privilege.
Sounds,
it's an honor.
We
privilege.
Want you from 11 to 12, but, you know.
I'm glad you're still on the air.
Yeah, thank you. So are we. So are we. We'll be back. We think maybe Rob knows something. 11 second hour coming up. WGR 550 and MSG.